Shout in you, glory. Amen. All right. Deuteronomy chapter 17. Like the old preacher said, if that doesn't put a shout in you, your wood's wet. Amen. Your wood is wet. Deuteronomy 17. Thank you, folks. Great song. And more than that, a great truth. We will see him. Wonderful. Deuteronomy 17. And in just a moment, give you a chance to get there. We will stand in honor of God's word if you're able to do that. And we're going to read beginning in verse 14. So if you found that book, Deuteronomy 17th chapter, let's stand together. If you're able, in honor of God's good word, I'll begin reading with verse number 14. The Bible says, when thou art come unto the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, and shalt possess it, and shalt dwell therein, and shalt say, I will set a king over me, like as all the nations that are about me. Understand, this hasn't happened yet. God is predicting the future here, okay? When thou art come unto the land. Not there yet. Verse 15. Thou shalt in any wise set him king over thee, whom the Lord thy God shall choose. One from among thy brethren shalt thou set king over thee. Thou mayest not set a stranger over thee, which is not thy brother. Interesting that our Constitution says you can't be president unless you're born here in America, okay? Now, look at verse number 18. Let's drop down there. And it shall be when he, talking about the one who's made king, sitteth upon the throne of his kingdom, that he shall write him a copy of this law in a book out of that which is before the priests, the Levites. And it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life. And he may learn to fear, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep all the words of this law and these statutes to do them. I'm going to take my title from verse 19 there, where it says, he shall read therein all the days of his life, and speak on a lifelong responsibility. A lifelong responsibility. Father, thank you for the day that we have to enjoy. Thank you for church. Thank you for the born-again, blood-washed assembly of believers gathered here today. We pray, Lord, if there's one in our midst or more that's not saved, that conviction of the Holy Spirit will set in and draw them to Jesus Christ. It's getting serious, Lord. Time's running short. I pray that you speak to any heart here today not saved. Lord, bless the rest of us to learn from your book this morning. Fill us with power, both speaker, listener, so that all that may be accomplished that you want to accomplish in our hearts. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Thank you and be seated. Let me begin by saying this morning, the nation of Israel has been in the headlines of the news recently. After enduring an outpouring of rockets, over 4,300 rockets shot from Gaza into the nation of Israel, most of them directed at centers of population. Israel retaliated by destroying several key elements of the Hamas terrorist organization that operates there in the Gaza Strip, funded by Iran, which our former president got us out of that, and our current president is trying to get us back into it, but now there's a ceasefire in place, and for the moment, the fighting has been placed on hold. I think you know that if you've paid any attention. I don't watch the news. I read headlines, and if one catches my eye, I read it. I want you to listen very carefully. Always land on the side of Israel, okay? I don't wear this lapel pin for decoration. I wear it because I believe that. I believe that they are our most needful and necessary ally. And I just want to stop and say, Mike, good to see you and your wife in the service this morning. I didn't see you earlier. Good to see you, Mike Vittick and Helen. Oh, former members here, longtime friends. Nationally, Israel is God's chosen people. That does not mean that Jewish people never do anything wrong. Nor does it mean that all Jewish people are saved. In fact, most are not. Most are not. Most of their eyes are blinded. Okay? But that does not change the fact that God chose them. They are the apple of His eye. Okay? And Genesis 12:3 is still in your book, where God told Abraham, I will bless them that bless thee, and I will curse him that curseth thee. That is God's eternal promise. Those who bless Israel, God will bless. Those who curse Israel, God will curse. Nothing can change that. I can't change that. You can't change it. No human being can touch that promise. It's very disturbing that the liberals in this country condemn violence against many different people. The liberals, politicians, they condemn violence, and the liberal athletes, and the liberal movie stars. They condemn violence against black Americans. They condemn violence against Asian Americans. They condemn violence against sodomite Americans. But then not one word has been uttered this week by the liberals about the blatant, unprovoked attack on Jews in this country. When you see people in major cities in this nation just attacking people because of their ethnicity, because they are Jews, it takes you back to Germany and Poland before World War II started. Nothing said about it. Not a comment. They're hypocrites. And that's not my message this morning, but I feel a responsibility necessary to just from the pulpit establish what the Bible teaches us about these things that are sometimes current events in our country. Land on the side of Israel. Okay? Land on the side of Israel. That's the safe place to be. Even if you don't understand it all, because God's promises are God's promises. They're not changing. Okay? Now, we spent a few minutes in this passage in Deuteronomy a couple of Sunday nights ago, and I break that up about Israel because this is about Israel, okay? This is Moses speaking to the children of Israel, preparing them to go into the promised land, and God uses Moses to tell them about the time that's coming when they will desire a king to rule over them. Verse 14, I won't reread it. We read it just a moment ago. God plainly tells them that eventually, you will desire to have a king rule over you. Now, this is one of those passages where the free will of man is plainly seen. God did not want Israel to have a king overruling them. He was to be their king. But Israel wanted to be like all the other nations around them. This global crowd that wants America to be like all other nations is causing us trouble. We're not like other nations. We weren't founded like other nations, okay? It's not a matter of pride. It's a matter of fact. Anyway, you can tell I'm on the verge of just going politically ballistic, amen? But I'm going to keep from doing that here, all right? So they wanted a king, so God said, fine, I'll give you a king. And the Bible says, Psalm 106:15, about something else, but it applies here, and he gave them their request, but sent leanness unto their soul. Be careful what you want. That's not God's will. Because God may give you what you want, and then leanness goes into your soul. Every unmarried adult, young adult woman and young adult man wants to be married. But be careful what you ask for, who you ask for. That may not be God's will. Okay? Be careful about that. And you just keep adding, and God gives you your request, then you live the rest of your life. Man, what in the world have I got myself into? That's not fun. Okay, be careful about that. So it turned out like God said it would. They got their king, and they got the mess that came with him. Okay, which is always the case. It always turns out like God says. Always. Now, in his talk to them, Moses tells them about the time when they will desire a king. It hasn't happened yet. But God knows the future, and God gives some specific responsibilities for the king when Israel chooses one. And some are listed in verse number 16. I won't look at those. That's not my content. Some are found in verse 17. I talked about this a couple Sunday nights ago. They weren't to multiply to themselves horses, wives, or gold and silver. Be careful about money, passion, and riches. I'm sorry, power, passion, and riches. They'll destroy you. Okay? But that's another sermon. That was a couple weeks ago. In verse number 18, he gives the king, he tells him, this is what the king is going to do when he sitteth upon the throne of his kingdom. This is what I want him to do. I want him, verse 18, he shall write him a copy of this law in a book out of that which is before the priest, the Levite. So God's given this, his word to Moses. And Moses has given it to man, speaking it verbally, but they're also writing it down. And God says, Moses, you take this, you take what I'm giving you, it's written down, and you give it to the priest for safekeeping. And the priest actually put it in the Ark of the Covenant. And he said, when a man becomes king, he goes to the priest and he says, I need the law. I need the book of the law. And when he gets it, I want him to make himself a copy. Write him a copy of this law in a book. Well, I almost put in here this morning to go off on the original manuscripts. Well, we have the Word of God in the original manuscripts. Folks, if we only have the Word of God in the original manuscripts, tell me where that is. How many kings made copies of the Bible? Come on. We have the inspired Word of God right here, okay? Come on, it's ridiculous. Okay, now, but I'm not going to go off on that either, but I like to mention it, okay? These are all teasers, okay, as we go through here. All right? So he wants to make a copy, but now wait a minute. He did not write a copy for himself just to say, I got my copy of the Bible, of the law. I don't know if it was Deuteronomy or if it was Genesis through Deuteronomy. I don't know. I don't know. We're not told. But let's say, you know, God gave Moses the Pentateuch. Let's say it's Genesis through Deuteronomy. So he doesn't make a copy for himself just so he can walk around with it and say, look what I got. I have a copy of God's law. In verse number 19, and it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life. It's a lifelong responsibility. As soon as he becomes king, he should write himself a copy of God's Word, keep it with him, and read it all the days of his life. Okay, so what does that mean to you and me? This is the nation of Israel, king, we get it. Revelation 1:6 tells us that when we get saved, Jesus hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. He's made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. There are no kings today who sit in mediation between a saved person and God the Father. If you are saved, you are a king, you are a priest, meaning you have no mediator between you and God but Jesus Christ. As I said on a Wednesday night a couple of weeks ago, that means you can learn the truth of God's Word yourself. You should have a pastor who preaches to you. But if you can't get to that pastor, you can still learn the Word of God because you've been made a king unto God. You don't need an earthly man between you and God. You can learn the truth of God's Word yourself. And one of the ways to do that, since we're kings, is to do what God told the king of Israel to do. Don't just walk around and say, I have a Bible. Read it. How often? All the days of his life. All the days of his life. You know, those of you that have been here, this has been a constant theme of my preaching over these years. Read the Word of God. Read the Bible. Read it yourself. You know that. John the Apostle wrote in Revelation 1:3, blessed is he that readeth. Blessed is he that readeth. He was talking about the book of Revelation, but what he said applies to all the Word of God. Blessed is he that readeth. I hope you value the privilege of having a Bible. I hope you value that. I mean a book. I'm not talking about an app on your phone. I have the app on my phone. I listen to it when I'm traveling. Play it over the speaker system in the truck. I listen to the Word of God. Helps me. Okay? But I don't have just an app on a phone. I'm talking about the book that we hold in our hand. Okay? Most Christian Americans have more than one Bible in their possession. Probably have two or three at the house. There are many places in the world where Bibles are not as abundant as they are here in the States. There are places in the world where Bibles are outlawed. They are banned. They are confiscated and destroyed. In some cases, in some of those places, saved people have learned to place a premium on the privilege to own a Bible. Just to have one. And sometimes they only have a small portion of God's Word. Maybe a few pages. Maybe one book. Think about that. I'm not talking about a complete book. One of the 66 books. I remember years ago reading a story about Bulgaria. Brother Shigalis was here on Wednesday night. Bulgaria is a communist country. It was under communist rule. And a godly pastor of a small underground church. He had a New Testament that had been handed down to him. It was 60 years old. It was badly worn. Pages falling out loose. But it was the only Bible in his whole entire congregation. There was a dump outside of town. And it was known that authorities would confiscate Bibles and they would burn the Bibles at that dump. And a couple of men in his church went at night to the dump with a flashlight to see if they could pick up a little piece of an unburned Bible page. Or maybe they burned a whole Bible and there was two or three pages that didn't get burnt. And they would bring those, and people in the congregation would take those burned pieces, those little pieces of the Bible, they'd take it home and in some cases stay up all night copying it so they can have a piece of the Bible to read for themselves. A piece. If I were an American Christian who had a Bible and never read it, I would hate to stand beside some of those folks at the judgment seat of Christ. Whew. You have five Bibles, never picked one up. Oof. Blessed is he that readeth. Are you saved? If you're born again, if your testimony is of a born-again child of God, you are made a king unto God the Father, which means you have the right and the responsibility to read the Bible for yourself, just like the kings of Israel. And what I'm preaching to you is indeed Bible truth. There are denominations that tell their people, don't you read the Bible. You can't understand it. You have to have the Father. I'm talking about the earthly Father. Tell you what it means. Because only he is enlightened and you're not, you poor pitiful thing. That's what they say. But that book teaches differently. No, it teaches differently. Now, a couple of times in the past, a different place, Wednesday night Bible study one time, some of you might remember this, it's been years and years ago, I gave some principles of Bible reading that George Mueller founded. Most of you probably have heard of George Mueller. He was a man whom God used greatly. He lived through almost all of the 19th century. He was born in 1805. He died in 1898. So that means he lived all but 7 years of the entire 19th century. Think about that. He was born, lived in England. God's power was on his ministry, Mueller's prayer life, and his Bible life. Played the major part in why he had the blessing and power of God on him. He's the one that had those orphanages. And sometimes with no food, would sit those little orphans at the table, with the table set, with tableware, and no food. And say, kids, let's pray. And ask God to provide the meal. Here's a milkman. My wagon's broke down. And the milk is going to spoil. I don't want to throw it out. Could you use the milk? Here's the bread man. My bread wagon's broken down. I don't want the bread to spoil. Could you think about that? Read the book. His biography. It's a tremendous book. It'll challenge you. It'll convict you. It really will. He had some rules or some principles of Bible reading that affected his life. I've given them. I'm going to give you the main points of what George Mueller said about Bible reading. Just the main point. And everything I say underneath that is my expounding on his main point. So you really should pay attention to these principles. I'll tell you what, they'd be good for all of us to follow as we set out to read the Scriptures, because we have a lifelong responsibility to read the Word of God. Number one, George Mueller said, read the Scriptures regularly through. Read the Scriptures regularly through. Let's use our Bible. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Go to the New Testament, 2 Timothy chapter 3, and a familiar verse to us. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 16. We're going to turn to a couple of places. And by the way, I'm in no rush today. I'll just, wherever we get to run out of time, I'll cut this off and I'm going to pick it up again. So, all right? I'm going to pick it up tonight. May pick it up next Sunday morning. I'm just going to go until we're done. Look at what it says here. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. George Mueller said that he read the Scriptures regularly through. Look at verse 16. The Bible says, this is not George Mueller, this is the Word of God. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is, what's the next word, church? Profitable. Profitable. Now, here's what Mueller would do. Mueller would read alternate portions of the Old Testament and the New Testament. He would start at the beginning of each. So he started in Genesis. He started in Matthew. And he would read a little bit. He'd mark where he finished. And then he'd pick it up again the next day. And he determined to read them through. And when he finished reading them completely through, he would start over again. Now, that is good for every child of God to do. I didn't say attempt to do. I said do. Get it done. You can read the Bible through, and you should. So many people, you know what their Bible reading is? Yeah, I better read the Bible today. I better just read it. So, okay, that looks good. That's not the way to read the Bible. Now, it's not going to hurt you, okay? It's all good. All good. But it's all good. It's all good. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. From Genesis to Revelation, all of this book is given by the breath of God. And all of this book should be read by saved people. It should be. It's a lifelong responsibility once you're saved. You know, something that really helps is to have a Bible reading plan. Most plans are designed so that the entire Bible can be read in 1 year, a calendar year. Now, that's a worthy goal, but folks, that's not necessary. Maybe you shouldn't put yourself under that kind of burden. If you're a Christian who's never read a regular reading of God's Word, don't put yourself under that kind of burden. Follow the plan. Just read a smaller portion of what's recommended. So what if it takes you more than a year? So what? You know, we are so quick to throw the baby out with the bathwater. This is what's expected of us, but I can't do that, so I'm not going to worry about any of it. That's silly. That's foolish. You know, the main thing is to have a plan that helps you read it consistently until you read it through. And it would be a help if some of you would just get a plan and let it help guide you through the whole book. Because what's important is consistent daily reading. That's the goal. A little bit every day is better than getting all pumped up emotionally. I'm going to read the Bible, sit down and read a gigantic amount, and then not pick it up again for 3 weeks. That's not wise. So don't get all pumped up today. Oh, man, he's right. I got to go home and read the Bible. Just look. If you're sick enough to go to the doctor and he gives you a prescription, you don't take the whole bottle of medicine at one time. Better not. You take a little bit every day consistently. What does it say? One with meals. One with breakfast, one with lunch, one with supper. One before you go to bed. One pill. A little bit every day. Consistently. I know this is old. I know some of you think, good grief. Get a time and a place to read your Bible. Some of you, that's the only hurdle you need to jump. You just haven't set a time and a place to do it. What's so important about that? Well, think about how much of your life is built around a time and a place. Why don't you read your Bible? When I get around to it, that's the problem. There's a very real enemy who has a lot of ability to make sure that you and I don't get around to it. It won't happen if you're random with this, folks. Won't happen. And that's the problem. So many of God's people are random about Bible reading. Now, I didn't come to church this morning to hear somebody talk to me about reading the Bible. Well, it shouldn't offend you if you're doing it. Shouldn't offend you. Should be sitting there saying, man, I'm glad I read my Bible. People who get offended are the ones who aren't doing it. Why are you talking to me about that for? Because it's in this book. Man, last week it was so sweet and so helpful. I know, it's got to be sour and mean today. Got to keep this thing balanced out. Amen. Seriously, get a time. I would challenge you, if you're random with this, go home. Don't run down here to the altar. Okay, but run back to your seat. That fixes that. That does not fix it. Go home. Sit down. Think about your week, your days, your responsibilities, and realize that this responsibility probably supersedes many of the other responsibilities. So I got to fit this in. And more than I've got to, I want to. Because when you're saved, there's some appetite for that book right there. So this is the best time. This is the best time. I remember when our kids, we had family altar Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And we always encouraged the kids about reading their Bible. And I can remember passing by their rooms and looking through the bedroom door open, looking through the door. And you don't let your teenagers shut the door and hold themselves up by themselves in a room. So the door's open. Go by the door, lights on, it's bedtime, 10 o'clock, 10:30 at night. They're reading their Bible. I don't prefer evening reading. But do you think I chastised them? Not on your life. They were reading it. So folks, it doesn't matter if it's morning, evening. With your schedule, middle of the day, just find a time. Find a time. And then find a place. You say, why? Because it becomes sacred. It's where you sit with your book that God wrote you. And read it, and God's Spirit works in your heart, and you're blessed and you're helped. And that spot almost becomes sacred to you. Now look, I understand some of the Bible is more difficult to read, to get through than other parts. The genealogies of First Chronicles. Oh. You say, you shouldn't have that attitude. I'm just being transparent. When I finish 2 Kings and I know 1 Chronicles 1 through 9 is coming, it's like, oh. And so-and-so begat, so-and-so begat, so-and-so begat, so-and-so begat, so-and-so begat, so-and-so begat, so-and-so. Oh. But I read it. And once in a while, God gives you a little nugget out of there. Because it's A-L-L. The tedious laws for the cleansing of the lepers in Leviticus. Some of you that read your Bible, you know what I'm talking about? You get in those the laws of the cleansing of the lepers and go to the house. And if the house has the wall has a streak on it, and if it doesn't have a streak on it, shut them up for 7 days. And I do not mean to be irreverent. I love this book. It's just I'm being transparent with you. It's not every morning you read it and go, praise God. You read it some mornings and say, thank you, that's over. I'm glad that part's done. The details of the building of the tabernacle in Exodus. Like this many cubits and that many cubits and that many cubits and cover get shittim wood, cover it with gold and make sure it's this many cubits and the silver talons and tenons and each side of tenon and how many more chapters is this? get into the book of Joshua after they conquered the land. They're passing out the borders of the land. And it's like, wow. Man, take me to Luke. Amen. Take me to the Psalms. Take me to Proverbs. But God gave us a book that's in its entirety is made up of 66 books. They're all good. They're all profitable. Some of you need to stop doing random. You need to stop doing random. You need to go home today and determine, I'm going to begin a journey to read the Bible regularly through. If you don't do it in a year, God's not going to be angry. Read it consistently until you finish it. What then? Start over. Well, why? I finished it. It's not finished with you. You might have finished the book, but the book's not finished with you. I said, I think sometimes recently you read a book written by man. You probably read it one time. There's that one book or two books or maybe four books that you read a second time. And maybe that one or two that you read a third time. I'm reading through Charles Spurgeon's lectures to my students. I've read it before. I'm reading it again right now. It's one of those books that's worthy of a second read. But a third read, I don't know. Why? Because it's written by man. But this book is written by God. Lectures to my students is not alive. This is alive. It's quick. It's powerful. It has life. Life that will change you. Make an impact on you. Save you if you're not saved. And you just can't, you just can't read it one time through and say, okay, I did my responsibility as a child of God. I read through the Bible. It's a lifelong responsibility for God's children. And by the way, I'm not browbeating you. I'm not trying to beat you down over this. I'm trying to say, man, get plugged in. Get plugged in. I'm not putting anything on you more than what God puts on us. It's a lifelong responsibility. Read it regularly through. It'll never grow old. Some of you have heard my testimony about reading God's Word. Many of you probably haven't. I was saved at that boy's home October 15th, 1975, on a Wednesday night, on the way home from church. I knew Thursday I should read that book. I didn't hear that from anybody. I just knew it. Mike would get us up, usually by 7 o'clock in the morning. We lived in little cottages. There were three cottages. Mike lived down in the mobile home trailer with his wife and children. And we lived up the road in these cottages. And every cottage had a lead supervisor. And I set my alarm clock. No alarm on the watch. An alarm clock. I know some of you don't know what that is. Do you know some of you don't know that you used to have to wind your watch to keep it going? What? Yeah. You had to wind it. Every day. Every day. You're kidding me. No. No. It used to be. Those of us that are a little older have been through many persecutions and trials in life. That's one of them. I'm joking. I set that clock to go off 1 hour early. And I got up. I didn't know what to read. Probably should have just started in Genesis, but I'm looking at it, and I had no interest in the Word of God before I got saved, but now there's something in my heart. So I see the Acts of the Apostles. Ooh, that looks good. Begin reading. Read a couple chapters. Same thing the next morning. Same thing the next morning. Finally finished the book of Acts. I just started over again in Acts. I probably read Acts 4 or 5 times. My heart would burn. My heart would burn. Mike would give us free time, not often, worked us like crazy. Had to keep us out of trouble. Dawn to dusk, just about. But once in a while, I'd say, okay, boys, got an hour and a half of free time. You can go fishing, go swimming if it's warm, play ball, sleep. Sometimes I would do that, but I'd more often than not go to my cabin, get my Bible, get a strong concordance that I picked up out of the boys' home library, and look up Bible verses and just read. We would travel to raise support for the ministry, like Brother Roloff used to with the girls from his home, the Honeybee Quartet. Some of you remember that. We'd go to churches all across the Southeast, Georgia, Tennessee, Mississippi, South Carolina, North Carolina. Made one trip to Rockford, Illinois. One trip up north. A friend of Mike's pastored up here in Rockford. And we'd have to leave sometimes at 4 o'clock in the morning to get to the church service on time. Dark. And I'd hurry to the van so I could get in and get a seat by a window. Because when the sun's coming, when dawn breaks, I'm going to be reading that book. I put that book up against the side of the van window so I could see I have enough light to read. I'm not bragging. I'm just telling you what happened. Amen. One night we pulled home from church on Wednesday night. We were in town, home, pulled in from church after church on Wednesday night, and pulled up by the cabins. Mike said, okay, boys, everybody out. Terry, stay behind. They talk to you. Oh, brother, what have I done? Because there were other times when I stayed behind. It wasn't pleasant. He said, move up here. I sat in the bench, first bench seat. He's in the driver's seat. He's kind of looking out the front glass of the van. He says, look, I know you get up in the morning and read the Bible. He said, I know also that sometimes during free time, you go read the Bible. He said, I see you back there 4 o'clock in the morning sitting by the window. And he just turned and he said, son, you keep doing that and God will use you. You keep doing that and God will use you. Went to Bible college and heard one of my teachers for 4 years say, what you do with the Bible determines what God does with you. 4 years. 4 years. Over and over again. This morning I get up. I don't read my normal scripture reading on Sunday morning. I read just a small portion. I read Galatians chapter 1. My heart burned. My heart burned. Paul said, if anybody brings another gospel other than the one I've preached to you, let him be damned. There's only one gospel. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. Whew. It's not random. It's not random. And friend, you have an enemy that's going to do everything he can to keep you from putting your nose in that book. I would not stand up here this morning, looking back on last year, 2020, and tell you, I never missed a day reading my Bible. Can't do that. Because some mornings you get up and your whole morning goes haywire. Things happen out of your control. And there's always, I've got to get to my Bible. You get into bed at night and you turn the light off and I didn't read my Bible today. Well, I'm sure you turn the light on and read it, Pastor. Sometimes I go to sleep. But one day can't be two. And 2 days, because then 2 days becomes four. And now you're in the habit of not picking it up where you were in the habit of picking it up. It's a lifelong responsibility. You're made a king unto God. Read it. That's all I have to do is read it. Come on. But But that's a good place to start. Just read it. Read it. If you're not doing it now, don't start with 10 chapters. Start with 10 verses. I went to Bible college, took my first year class, first semester classes, Jim Vineyard on Friday. Now, you preacher boys, you're going to be used of God. You got to read 27 chapters a day. 27. I read 3 in Genesis, and I read 1 in 1 Samuel, and I read 2 in the Psalms, and I read 3 in Matthew. You say you're saying it wrong. That's how he said it. He didn't say 3. He said 3. His teeth were all messed up. I said, okay, I want to be used of God, man. My heart's on fire. 27 chapters. You know how long that lasted? About 3 days. That's the schedule we kept? Reading 27 chapters? Help us. How about 27 verses? You're not, it's been random with you. I wouldn't go home and try to read 10 chapters. I'd go home and read 10 verses Monday, read 10 verses Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. But only 10 verses. Only. That one phrase out of one verse, Spirit of God will go. A lifelong responsibility. Well, I have 6 points. I only got through one. This is going to be a lifelong series. But seriously, are you random? Are you you're making me, you quit. You're making me feel bad. I'm not trying to make you feel bad. I'm trying to help you. Are you random? Let's go away with the random. Let's get in this book regularly. Get your time and a place. Start off with a few verses and read it. Father, I pray that you'll bless the message. We only got that far, and I hope I didn't take too much liberty. I hope that's what you wanted this morning. I pray that you'll please help your people, help us all. Thank you, thank you, thank you for giving us a book. You could have left us without a book. What a disaster our lives would be without the book of God. Thank you for it. Lord, impress upon our hearts this morning. Impress upon our hearts the need to be in your book consistently and to read it through, even if it takes 3 years, and then start over again and make it part of our daily life. Speak to our hearts, please. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed. I'm going to ask a question. You listen very carefully. This does not incriminate you in one way or the other. This is Pastor Angel. Something was said this morning that God used to challenge my heart on this subject or to encourage my heart or to convict me. Something was said. The Spirit of God stopped right there and spoke to me. Pray for me. Would you lift your hand? I see hands going up. I appreciate your faithfulness. Amen. Thank you. You can take your hands down. Is there somebody here this morning who say, Brother Angel, I'm not sure I'm saved. I do not know if I died right now that I would go to heaven. Please pray for me. I'm not sure I'm saved. Anybody like that here today? We didn't have any visitors, first-time visitors, so I did, but that doesn't matter. Are you on your way to heaven? Do you know that? Amen. If you're here to be baptized, follow the Lord in believer's baptism. That's always open as well as joining the church. But let's let God work in our hearts today. Let's acknowledge that. If he spoke to us, then let's acknowledge it by speaking back to him. Father, bless the invitation. May it make a difference. May it begin here. Start here and be carried out at home and in our lives, I pray in Jesus' name. Let's stand together, heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Music begins. You obey the Lord this morning. You do what he says to do. What is God saying to you this morning about your relationship with that book? Is it random? Is it just random? Is it steady? Is it consistent? What is God saying to you? Teenagers, adults, children, it's for everybody. If you're saved, you are made a king unto God. That's a lifelong responsibility. While we wait, just don't let Satan come and steal the word out of your mind while you're thinking on it, while it's in your heart right now. Don't let the fowls of the air come and take the seed that's been sown, devour it. That's what they do. You got to make a determination. No more random. No more random. No more. Something as important as God's book that He took care to give us. No more random with it. Room for Jesus. She's playing that song. Do you have room for God's word this morning? Find time in your life. Steady diet. It's a lifelong responsibility. Our God, Father in heaven, thank you for the privilege to be in church this morning. I pray that you'll speak to hearts. Evidently you did. And I pray, God, that now we would take it home and determine to do something about it. And I pray for the one, Lord, unmoved about it completely. And I pray, God, that you'd speak to that heart especially. And Lord, if there's anybody here not saved yet, I pray that you'll please work in the heart, draw them to Christ before it's too late. God, thank you for your book. What a precious gift. And especially here in this country, where we have dozens and dozens and hundreds and thousands of copies of your word. Help us not just to have a Bible, but to read it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.